Stand with me and take your copy of God's Word and turn it to Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. We started a series a few weeks back entitled Things Jesus Never Said. And one of the things that Jesus never said this morning was missions is not important. Missions is not important. How many knows that the Word of God teaches that missions is vitally important? Say amen. And so the Lord never ever said missions is not important. And I would extend that and say that the Lord never said that missions is not important, whether it's locally or globally. They are both important. I like to take the word local and global and use it together, that we are a glocal ministry. Amen. We are a global and local ministry. And God has called us to worldwide evangelism and missions. Thus, the very reason for the scholarship today, recognizing the fact that we believe in worldwide evangelism and missions. And we want our students here in high school to recognize the importance of this church, of their pastor, to believe in missions. If you want to know exactly how I believe, I encourage you to go pick up one of the books today out in the Welcome Center that I wrote entitled Dominican Deliverance. It outlines missions in the Old and New Testament and what I personally feel that God has called us to when it comes to the area of missions. It is the number one responsibility in the house of God, and that is organizing and using missions to bring honor and glory to Christ. If you believe that, say amen. We know that for a fact because of what the Bible says. Acts chapter 1. And verse number 8, Jesus said to his disciples, "But ye shall receive dunamis, power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you," watch this, "and ye shall be," not might be, not could be, "but ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." You can be seated. We're going to preach this message this morning to emphasize our missions day and the importance of missions here at our church. And hopefully it will be a reminder of for you to do your part here at Parkway Baptist. I can say this, I'm very proud to be the pastor of a church that loves missions. And I'm very, very honored to be a part of what we're doing here in the area of missions. And when we talk about missions and being on mission with God, we're talking about everything that we do. Everything that we do here in this church falls under the umbrella of missions. It's what we do to bring God honor and to bring God glory. And I hope that's vitally important to you and you understand that. That is our biblical philosophy here this morning. That we believe that everything we do falls under the category of this great verse that's found here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So let's thank the Lord for the reading of His Word, and let's ask the Lord to bless us this morning. Father, we are so excited to be in Your house today. Lord, we are so, Lord, glad to see young men being baptized here in our church, families joining, Lord, new ministries being developed. What an exciting time it is to be a part of this time here in this church. And I pray, God, that You would use us and You would lead us and guide us and direct us by Your Holy Spirit. God, to stand firmly upon the principles and the promises of the Word of God. Use us today mightily, Lord, with all the talents, Lord, and the things that You have given us. Help us, Lord, to lay it down at Your feet this morning, bringing You honor and glory and praise. We thank You for our ability. We thank You, Lord, for our availability that You have allowed us, Lord, to walk this missional path, Lord, declaring the goodness and the grace of God among the nations. May You help us, Lord, never to forget, Lord, and always to be reminded, Lord, that every soul needs to hear the gospel. And whatever part You allow us to be a part of, whether it's the first part of the chain, Lord, the middle part, or the end of it, we are all connected together for the same cause and the same purpose, and that's to bring Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, honor and glory and praise in the house of God. And we will thank You for it, and all God's people can say, amen. I can say this morning that there is a severe spiritual battle that is raging, and it has been raging since the days of Pentecost. During the days of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came down like a mighty rushing wind, the battle for God's glory among the nations really began to heat up. All the way back in the days of Genesis, you can find that there is a battle for God's glory among the nations. But really and truly, at the day of the resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost, the battle began to rage very heavily. Christ had won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He had established his wonderful, glorious church by redeeming them in the blood of the Lamb. And I want you to know this morning that Satan is not happy with that. If you believe that, say amen. You see, the battle that we fight is exclusively a battle that involves the church. And the reason why it exclusively involves the church is because God's glory being declared among the nations will never be possible without missions and worldwide evangelism. You will never, ever be able to get the gospel out to the far-reaching corners of the world without missions and without evangelism. It's the very reason why we are here this morning. Missional evangelism is the calling of every single believer here this morning. If you are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, you sit here today with Christ's commission right before us as his church, as redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. We are sealed with God's Holy Spirit, and we sit here with this great commission before us, as Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel," listen, "to every creature." That is the mandate, the missional mandate of every person in this room. God has called us to go out into all the world and to preach. That is to share the gospel with every single creature. He's speaking of human beings who need to be saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. This morning, I am so glad that there have been some men and women who have caught that missional mandate, and it's been the very passion of their life. When you study church history, you'll discover men like David Livingston, who got hold of that missional mandate and one day said this: Christ alone can save the world, but Christ cannot save the world alone. That's a great missional quote. Listen, Christ alone can save the world, but Christ cannot save the world alone. Because God has declared and decreed to have his church be a part of this missional endeavor. We receive the power from God Almighty. God gives us the power, and God gives us the spiritual authority, and God gives us the ability. But also, God wants us to do our part by yielding our time, our talent, and our tithe over to the Lord. Can you say amen? William Carey, who is the father of the modern day missions movement, said it best. He said, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." Boy, what a great quote to live by. That's what I want our church to live by. Expect great things from God, that God's going to bless us. God's going to use us in a missional manner. But also, at the same time, we are attempting great things for God, that we are doing our very best to build another church. You know, Brother Roy has it on his heart right now to build another church in the Dominican, and also to partner with Brother Abby in June of this next coming year to go down there with a construction crew and develop a couple of established buildings by renovating it and making it a church plant. Isn't that exciting stuff? Can you say amen? To know that the ministries of Parkway Baptist Temple, that we are attempting great things. You say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? It costs a lot of money. I believe that this church has all the money in the world. The problem is, it's still in your pocket. Someone say amen, huh? All right? I believe we have all that we need. And as you give your time, you give your tithe and your talent to the Lord, we are living up to the words of William Carey. We are expecting great things from God, and we are attempting great things for God. Henry Martin, who was the missionary to India and Persia, said, "The Spirit of Christ is the spirit of missions. The nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become." Every single person that's saved by God's grace this morning in this room, you are a missionary. Write it down. You're a missionary for God Almighty. And I'll say this on the authority of the Bible, that missional evangelism is the very thing that Satan desires to stop. If he can stop us from building another church in the Dominican, he'll do his very best. If he can stop us from going to Costa Rica, he will do his very best. He'll do everything he can to stop it. Why? Because there's a battle for the glory of God among the nations. And as churches set idle under the shadow of their steeples this morning in churches all across America, making up their minds not to get involved, making up their minds not to be a part of their own church mission, whether it's locally or globally. Satan wins the victory. He wins the victory over stealing away the glory of God that he so much deserves. You see, the battle is this. It is the glory of God among God's wonderful nations that he has established. God wants his name echoed in every cavern of the world. God wants his word preached to every creature. And God has given us that mandate to preach the gospel. And if you believe that, say amen. Satan's desire, as I said, is to stop it. And if he can blind the minds of people from being rescued, then that's exactly what he is going to do. And I can say this, that people many times are blinded to the need to be rescued. As a matter of fact, you could ask Ian McConnell. Ian McConnell was a man who was in charge of the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And he was in charge of taking five or six helicopters with his crew, and they were to fly 24 hours in a rotating shift, looking at the rooftops and delivering people from drowning and rescuing people from the aftermath of that, and they were to carry them to the Superdome there in New Orleans. But there was only a few people that they were able to help. And this is what he said in the report. On our first three missions, we saved the lives of 89 people, three dogs and one cat. On the fourth mission, to our great frustration, we saved no one. But not for lack of trying. The dozens we attempted to rescue refused to be picked up. Some people told us simply to bring them food and water. He said, you are living in unhealthy conditions, and the water will stay high for a long time. And they still refused. In truth, they did not know how desperate their situation was. And what happened there during the days of Katrina is what's happening in the spiritual realm. People do not realize how desperate their situation really is. We are living in a world where there is unhealthy spiritual conditions. And the cultural rapids and the cultural tide has come over top of our shores, and it is drowning people in their sorrows. Even though people don't want to be rescued, even though people refuse to be rescued, and even though they are blinded to the fact that they need to be rescued, you and I sit here this morning with a missional mandate to cast the lifeline. You and I sit here this morning with a mandate from Almighty God, no matter how much they refuse to hear the gospel, no matter how many times they refuse to be rescued, you and I have to throw the lifeline of the Word of God. That's why we're here. That's our mandate. That's our task. And God has empowered us to do it. If you believe it, give him a hand clap of praise. Can you say amen? Hallelujah to God. So people don't understand their desperate situation. No wonder the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. Some translations read, the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. In nations where Christ is not known today, in nations where there is not a gospel witness, and there's not been a sermon that has been preached, these nations, cultures, and people are in darkness and under the sway of the wicked one. These people are in darkness, and they are under the dominion of Satan. They have been lied to by their cultural taboos. They have been lied to by the New Age spirituality that is in our culture today, and they lie in darkness, and they are waiting for you and I. They're waiting for us to do our part. Since the Bible says that the world lies in wickedness, there's something that all of us must do. God has called all of us to do something for him. You know, when I read the Bible, I find that Jesus said repeatedly that there were things that he must do. Listen to the Bible. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. I must be about my Father's business. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I must preach the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 13, verse 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today. Luke chapter 19, verse number 5. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is the day. The night cometh when no man can work. There were some things that Jesus said, I must do. These were the mandates and the very passion of his heart that God had placed upon him. And this morning we stand here as God's bride, as God's church. There are some musts that are placed upon us. There are some things that we must do. I'll tell you this, as an American, I'll say this, outside of the Bible, let me just throw this in here in my sermon notes, and it's not even in there. You must vote this week. Someone say amen. Huh? There's some things that God has privileged us to do. Let me tell you this. Our country's in a train wreck. Our country needs revival. And it's when the Christians of this country stand up and exercise their right to vote and pray that God will put who he wants to place in the office. When God has his man in there and the church is praying and the church is right, I believe that maybe that America just may have a revival. Can you say amen? We need a revival from the White House all the way to the church house. We must exercise that God-given right. But there are some things, spiritually speaking, that we must do. And the Bible outlines them for us right here in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Number 1, I must function in God's missional power. I must function in the missional power of God according to verse number 8. The Bible says, but ye shall receive power. Now you should know by now what that Greek word is, that word power. Say it with me, somebody. Dunamis. Everyone gets an A on their report card. Dunamis. And that's our men's ministry here. We call it dunamis. Why? It's this wonderful word power. It's a derivative of our English word dynamite. And so the Bible is saying here that you will receive this explosive dynamic after the Holy Spirit of God has come. This new dynamic will help you to move mountains for God. This new dynamic will resolve all the problems and move them out of your way. But ye shall receive power when? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now we have a tremendous promise here in verse number 8. The Bible says, if you are a child of God, you have at your disposal the greatest power on planet Earth. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The problem with the average Christian is this, is that it's not that they don't have the power. The problem is they don't use the power. You've got the power this morning. You see, there's no more special power in the preacher and the deacons and the teacher than there is the everyday layperson. You have the power and the potential to do something great and expect something great from Almighty God. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost. Listen, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The Spirit just doesn't reside in the missionary and in the preacher and in the ordained elders and deacons of the church. No, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God is given to all of them, all of us that obey him. That is, those of us that put our faith and our trust in Christ. Listen, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Students, you take him to school. College students, you take him to college. Mom and dad, you take him to work with you. He's in the home. He lives on the inside of you. Can you say amen? That's why I agree passionately with David Platt, who's the senior pastor of the church at Brook Hills in Birmingham, Alabama. He wrote this. He said, we do not have time to waste. We do not have time to play artificial games in a contemporary culture or wage artificial wars in comfortable churches. We have been captured by a God-centered passion, and we have been commissioned with a global purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, we need that God-centered passion back in our churches once again. From the pulpit to the pew, where we understand we've been commissioned with a global purpose, that it's a battle for the glory of God among the nations. Can you say amen? We stand here today with the merits and the mercy and the might of the Lamb of God that loved us and died for us, and he's coming back after us. He has sealed us with his Holy Spirit. He's wrote our names down in the Lamb's book of life. He's given us the authority of his name. He's given us the majesty of his blood, and God has commissioned us to move forward for his honor and for his glory, and I'm so excited to be a part of it. Can you say amen? Huh? I'm so glad to be a part of the family of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I love this part. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives within me. You see, the problem with many of you here this morning is this. You've been trying to do this Christian thing all on your own. Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ. Listen, yet not I. It's not me. It's not about me. It's all about Christ that lives on the inside of me. Here's what you need to do this morning. You need to come to the altar and say, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender my life. I surrender my family. I surrender my habits. I surrender all to you. God, it's you that's living your life in me. It's not me, but it's the Lord. And that's the problem with many Christians. They've never come to terms with this wonderful verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, the great preacher D.L. Moody once wrote about the power of Christ just gripping his heart one day, and he was never the same. And he wrote these words. Moody said, one day in New York, what a day. I can't describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too scared to name. I can only say God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were no different. I did not present any new truth, yet hundreds were converted. I would not be back where I was before that blessed experience. You know what Moody discovered? He discovered the power of Almighty God. He was an uneducated man. He was a man that they say that slaughtered the king's English. Yet when he understood the anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, he said it was an experience that I would never trade for nothing. I didn't go to a seminar to learn how to preach. I didn't choose a new vocabulary to learn how to preach. All it was the anointing of the Spirit of Almighty God. And when I preached God's word and I looked the people in the eye and I preached God's marvelous message, hundreds were coming to Christ. Why? Because of the anointing of the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today, you and I must function in God's missional power. We need God in our heart and in our life. If you believe it, say amen. Second of all, I must fulfill the missional purpose of God. Look what the scripture says. The Bible says in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And here is the missional purpose. Ye shall be witnesses unto me after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Our charismatic friends would say that once the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will speak in tongues. And really and truly, just to speak in tongues, all you have to know is the names of motorcycles and say them very fast. Yamaha, Suzuki, Kawasaki, you know. And you are basically speaking in tongues. Just kidding, all right? That's for my Church of God buddies out there. But the Bible says, listen, the Bible says that when we receive the Holy Spirit of God, it doesn't say that we will receive the gift of tongues. Where do we read that at? The Bible says, but you receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall speak in tongues? No. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. The gospel mandate is this. I must function in God's missional power, and I must fulfill the missional purpose of God, which is what? To be a witness unto the Lord. Can you say amen? Incidentally, I'll let you know this morning that there is no plan B in reaching the world for Christ. Somebody, oh, let's come up with plan B. Maybe there's a better way. No, there's just plan A. Either we will be his witnesses or there will be no witnesses. God has not commissioned angels. God has not established some type of spiritual society that will come down from the heavens to preach. God has commissioned Parkway Baptist Temple to preach the word, to teach the word, to be missional in all that we endeavor to do. In the words of David Livingstone again, Christ alone can save the world, amen, but Christ cannot save the world alone. He needs us today. He is mandated for us to be involved. Not everyone is called to preach. Not everyone is called to teach. Not everyone is called to be an evangelist or a pastor. Not everyone is gifted in the area of evangelism or to even be a missionary on a foreign field. But everyone is called to be a witness. All of us. Every person in this room. There's not one of us that's excluded from it. We are all called to be witnesses. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. God has called us to be witnesses. Now, God's not called us to be salesmen. Someone say a big amen right there, all right? We're not salesmen. I get sick and tired of this crowd that's out there today marketing the culture, marketing the church. We don't have something for sale. We got a free gift to offer, amen? We've got a message to preach that is free. I know of church strategies today that they will literally divide an area into zip codes based upon the income of a family, the size of a family, or perhaps a school district that you are in. As a matter of fact, I know of one preacher that's a big advocate of that, and it's Rick Warren, who's in California. Rick Warren will divide these areas into different zip codes based upon what you make, based upon the size of your family, based upon the area of school that your children may go to. They will market these families and try to get them into their church. I want you to know that is not our strategy here at Parkway Baptist Temple. How would you like to join a church and all of a sudden discover their philosophy that you were marketed and not just simply loved because of who you are? You had something to offer. That is, you had a certain amount of income that you could bring into the church, or you had a certain size family, or you were a certain age group, or your kids were in a certain school district. Listen, I don't care if you go to LFO or Heritage or Ridgeland or East Ridge, Tennessee schools, or wherever you're at. Every student's welcome at Parkway Baptist Temple. Can you say amen? Let me tell you this. I'm proud of our youth pastor, by the way. I'm gonna toot your horn. You pay me later, all right? I'm proud of him. Kyle just doesn't go to just one school and market a certain sect of people like some of the youth pastors in this area have done because they've told it to us. Brother Kyle goes to all social schools. How many schools you go to? At least 12. 12 different schools. This guy, Monday through Friday, he's going to the schools. He's meeting with our students. He's having a good time with them. He's praying with them or whatever he can do within the classroom. I'm glad that we've got a youth pastor that's in love with the students of our county. And if you believe that, say amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Praise the Lord for him. Thank God for him. Amen. One guy told me and Brother Kyle one time that he didn't go to other schools here in the county because there was a certain school, which was the Heritage School, that was in his market group. We don't have market groups here. We love everybody, amen? It doesn't matter how much you make. It doesn't matter the size of your family. It doesn't matter how old you are, what school district you are in. We love red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. The Bible gives us a mandate that you and I, we are not salesmen using high-pressure tactics to sell a product. We can't strong-arm people into heaven. We simply preach and teach the Word of God, and the power comes from the Lord. Can you say amen? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So, I must fulfill the missional purpose of God. I must function in the missional purpose of God. Thirdly, I must follow the missional plan of God. Now, Jesus not only tells us what we are to do and how we are to do it, but he also says where we are to go. He tells us exactly how we are to follow this missional plan. It's broke down for you in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Watch this now. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, here it goes, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, watch this, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There's four things here. Jesus says, it will start in, first of all, your community, which is your Jerusalem. In your community, do you know, we can go and preach and teach and win all sorts of people to Christ in foreign fields, but if we're not doing it right here in our own back door, we are not fulfilling Acts 1:8. Now, I'm going to tell you this, all right? I've taken many of you. How many of you have gone on a missions trip? Raise your hand. You've been on a missions trip. Real high. Real high. Lots of folks in here. You know what? We can go there, and we can play with every child in a village. We can play baseball. We can feed them. We can color with them. We can take pictures with them. We can sing songs with them. And I've seen all of you do it. All of you that's been with me, you guys get an A+. For how you go in and love on those children and you love on those families. But why is it when we come back to Parkway that I have to beg people to be a part of our WANA program and work our nursery and be in our children's ministry? When we raise thousands of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars, Roy, tell me if I'm wrong, hundreds of thousands of dollars last year, over $100,000 or more last year just in missions. And we can do it on foreign fields, but yet when we come back, there's a disconnect. Let me tell you, the children in this building, the children over there in our nursery right now, and the children on Wednesday night that comes to Awana's, and the kids that are over there, they are just as important as any child on Dominican soil. Why? Because they got a soul from whom Christ died, and they need to hear the gospel. You say, oh, but wait a minute. That's a foreign field. This is the Bible Belt. Honey, I got news for you. The belts come unbuckled. Every child has not heard the gospel. Don't assume that every child that walks into this building has heard a gospel message, or that mom and daddy saved by the grace of God. I'm running into dozens of students that are not saved, who's never heard the gospel. Ask your youth pastor. He sees it all the time of students that's never heard a concise message of Jesus Christ. We've got to start being an Acts 1:8 church right here at Parkway Baptist Temple. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. I think we ought to give the Lord a hand. That's right. Amen. That's our mandate. So sign up for the nursery. Amen. You're doing your part missionally. Go over there and minister to a child. Help Rochelle out. Those folks that are over there, they've got so much spiritual burnout. I can't tell you how many times I have received emails and they say, Pastor, we need some more help. We need some more volunteers. I'm afraid our folks are getting burned out. It's the same people over and over and over again, yet I stand before a congregation of 700 people or more, sometimes on a Sunday morning. I'm urging you, do your part. Just don't sit here and soak and sour. Get involved and be a part of God's plan for missions right here locally. Can you say amen? Ooh, 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 pop, boom, kick, you know. All right. I'm doing the gospel judo here, sort of, Kyle. Make sure you're taking notes on all that, all right? Right here in your own community. Second of all, and this, let me say, we've got our hospital ministry. We've got a mentor program that we really dropped the ball on last year. I believe that every single man and woman in this church, you ought to be involved in that mentor program. Our past men's breakfast, Brother John Gamble brought the new elect sheriff down here, Gary Sis, to meet with us. And Gary stood before our men at that breakfast. And he said, men, I need you to be a part of this mentor program in our schools. I want to see our men in our churches and our ladies in our churches trying to go in and find some underprivileged family and be a part of that. And he's very passionate about that, and I hope that he opens up the doors and he allows us to do that, but we can't sit back idle and not be involved in our Jerusalem. There's the mentor program. There's the feeding ministry at Hutchison. There's the Bread of Life ministry. There's our Grow ministry and much more that we can get involved in. Starting right here in Jerusalem. I must follow the missional plan of God. Where, Brother David? In our community, right here in Jerusalem. Then there, the Bible says not only Jerusalem, but Judea, and that would be like our county or our state. We've got prevention programs here at the church. We have a jail ministry that meets every Thursday. We have men to go, and you can be a part of that and go down there and meet some of these men. They have sinned against God. They have messed their life up. Some of these men are in there for life. Some of them are in there for short terms. But God's opened up the door through our missions program and under the leadership of Brother Roy and Brother David and many others that are involved in that. We are trying to change lives one verse at a time, even in the prison, right here on the state and county level. That's our Judea. Can you say amen? Then there is Samaria. What can I say about America? America needs revival. That's missions right here in our own country. From corner to corner, north, south, east, and west, God has called us to be involved. And then, the Bible says, the uttermost parts of the world, and that's the continents of the world. You see, God not only tells us what to do and how we are to do it, but he says where you are to do it. Start in your community, move to the county, go to the country, and all the way to the continents of the world, do your part for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ. I must follow the missional plan of God. Last of all, and I've beat you up enough, amen, I must find God's missionary passion. God's missionary passion. Somehow, some way, you've got to find it. Somehow, some way, you've got to find it. You know the best way to find it? Go on a missions trip with us. Just go one time. I'll never forget, for as long as I live, it was probably our third time, maybe, being there in the Dominican. I do remember, Brother John, you were with me because we were sitting in the bus together, and I got Brother Gamble's attention, and we were going down this dusty road. We had some food, we had some baseball equipment we were going to pass out, and we were going down this Dominican dusty road, and we were all just excited about what was going to take place. We had breakfast that morning, we prayed, we loaded up the van, and here we went on a long trip, and we're going down this dry Dominican dusty road. And the road was so dusty that there's dust just flying everywhere as we're driving down through there. And me and John was sitting towards the back, and we looked out the back window, and in the middle of all that dust, you could see faces of little kids, and they were running after us. And I said, John, look at them kids over there. And they had cups in their hands. And they had the biggest smile on their face. Though we couldn't really make them out, they're just running in the dust, and they're running after us. And when we parked that bus, those kids greeted us like family, like old friends. They were so excited to see us. We got off the bus, and we had some ball equipment and had some candy in our pocket, and we were ready to do some ministry there. And those kids were so excited to see the missionaries. They knew that we were bringing some supplies to them. And the Lord showed me something very, very important. That there are people in the dust in this world. They're living in the dust and the mire and the fog of spirituality. And if we would just take the time long enough to look through the dust, we just might see some faces of people that are wanting to hear the message, of some people that need to hear the gospel message. If you'll just look long enough through the dust of culture, you will see that there's some hungry, thirsty people that are living in a dry and barren land. And what they're needing the water of life. They're needing the manna of heaven. And who has that? We have that today. We have that power. We've got the Spirit of Almighty God living on the inside of us. He has anointed us for this task. He has called us to this task. It is not an option. There is no plan B. There's only plan A, that we've got to give our money. We've got to give our time. We've got to give our tithe. Time is running out. And God has called us to this great purpose. And the kids of the world and the people of the world, they are just waiting for the bus to pull up. They are just waiting to see another missionary walk off the bus, perhaps with some food. I remember our very first time there. Those kids were so hungry. It was crazy. It's the craziest village we had ever been to. Those kids were so hungry that we had to form a wall. I mean, it was that bad. We were running out of food, and we had to form a wall to keep the kids from getting to the food. And the missionary gets right in my face. I mean, he comes right over to me, all right? And he gets right by me, DJ, and he's like, "You better get this under control or it's going to get out of control in a few minutes." And I was like, "Oh, my goodness." And he's like, my breath ain't that bad, all right? I said, oh my goodness. So we form a wall, and kids are trying to climb over top of our back to try to get to that food. And this old Dominican woman comes out. Her skin looks like it's baked like leather. She's missing, you know, several teeth, and, you know, and she comes out, and she's just like, you know, she's just, I mean, she's chewing everybody out, and everybody calmed down. And we were able to feed that village. That was the first experience I had had seeing what it's like to see a group, listen, of hungry people. Hungry people. After this service, when we dismiss here in the next few moments, many of you will go to a restaurant. You'll sit down. You'll have your meal, your salad, your drink, and all of this. You'll go home and you'll have a nice meal. You'll turn on your television. You'll sit in your nice, comfortable, heated, or air-conditioned home. And there are so many people in the world today, they don't understand that privilege. You are wealthy beyond compare. And when you see and you look into the eyes of a little child that has bug bites, whose body is covered in dust and dirt, and who's just longing to get another cup of Kool-Aid or the meal that we have fixed, it will literally tear your heart out. You can't be Christian or even human to sit back and watch the starvation of these little children. I'm here to tell you, if we can feed one child, if we can change one life, if we can build one more church, if we can do just one more small task, that is that much more of winning the battle for the glory of God's name among the nations. I ask you, and I beg you, as a church, not only to work for the Lord globally, but I beg you and I ask you, as your pastor, you get involved locally. You love the children that are here Wednesday night, the ones that are here right now. You get involved in praying for our teenagers and our college students. You get involved in helping out our church in any way, in any shape, in any fashion, because I believe this, time is drawing near. There's no need to fight and to fuss over trivial, minor, crazy things. Stand your ground on the principles and precepts of the Word of God. For when it's all said and done, we will stand before the Lord and we will give an account personally for what we have done, individually. For the Lord, do your part. There's some things Jesus said, I must do. And there's some things we must do this morning. And I'll tell you this, Jesus never said missions is not important. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. I thank you, Lord, for salvation. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the hearts of people right now. And I pray, God, that you would move upon their heart. Whether they walk forward or they make a commitment there in the pew, you know the heart of each and every individual. God, move upon us today. Help us, Lord, to understand the must of missions. Help us to be involved, God, in what you've called us to do. And we will thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. My heads are bowed. You say, Brother David, I want you to pray for me. God's moved upon my heart. I'm going to do more for Jesus this year. I'm going to make a commitment today that I'm going to get involved. Will there be one? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Hands all over the house. Thank you for your volunteerism. God bless you. God sees your heart today. I want you to be involved. Come and ask the Lord. Whatever your need may be, these men are ready to pray with you. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Whatever you need to do, if you need to come and pray, make a commitment, rededicate your life, you come today. You come and call upon the Lord and ask God to help you. Yes, amen. Yes, amen.